So you're a tough guy, like you really rough guy. Just can't get enough guy, just always so puff guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type. Make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy.
Duh.
Chapter 28. Jason woke up because there was someone in his apartment. More accurately, someone had been in his apartment for some time, which meant it was someone he was comfortable enough with that his body had kept sleeping. That left two options. And since Roy had been very excitedly talking about his Christmas Day plans with Dinah for days now, that left his other teammate. Corey, he spoke, knowing she would hear him. Sure enough, she was there a moment later, gripping him by the shoulders and yanking him off his mattress and up into the air for a tight hug. Whoa, Jason declared, because he'd barely woken up and he slept only in his boxers. But Corey knew that about him already. They'd often had very close quarters on missions. It was a good thing he had high ceilings, he thought idly, as he returned the mid-air hug. Jason, she spoke, voice full of warmth and delight. I've missed you. You too, princess, he spoke honestly, holding her tight. What are you doing here? I didn't know you were coming by. She returned them to solid ground and released him from the hug. I've lived on this planet long enough to understand that Christmas is a very special holiday that should be spent with family. Though the holiday doesn't mean much to me, I did not like the idea of you not being with family today. So here I am. Also, Roy told me you have a present for me. Jason grinned, amused. Sure do. How long have you been here?
1 hour. You looked tired. I didn't want to wake you.
You didn't try to cook, did you? Jason was almost afraid to hear the answer. But Corey just rolled her eyes and replied,
No, I did not.
Well then, I'll make us some breakfast, Jason replied, grabbing some clothes off the floor to pull on. Corey made a pleased noise as she led the way out of his room.
I've missed your food almost as much as I've missed you.
I'm flattered, Jason replied, but then stopped short. Whoa, he said again, surveying the absolutely giant TV that had apparently swallowed his old one.
Roy's present, Corey replied with a smile. It's necessary for our Christmas plans. I got everything set up while you were asleep.
How on earth did Roy afford this? Jason asked, because while they'd been traveling around as outlaws, Roy had gotten most of his money by conning it out of Jason. He hadn't touched any of his trust fund money, but Talia had been generous in what she called compensation, and Jason had plenty of dirty money lying around.
Queen,
Corey replied, smiling. He was quite pleased with himself. Jason grinned wide. Oliver Queen had bought him a giant-ass TV. Nice, Corey nodded before admitting. I may have singed him a bit while on the watchtower. That's when John suggested I visit with the Titans. Jason laughed happily. Oh, man, I would have loved to see that.
He's a fool who deserves much worse.
Not arguing, Jason agreed, pulling some eggs and veggies out of the refrigerator. Corey liked omelets, but she liked them with a whole slew of strange ingredients. He wouldn't touch one of her omelets, but he had no problem making them for her.
You've made progress on your nest, she remarked, looking around.
Not you too, Jason groaned. Corey smiled.
Roy's humor is amusing at times.
You're a sucker for it, don't lie, Jason pointed out, because as much as Corey was a badass queen amongst women, and he did not mean because she was a princess of a planet. He meant actual bona fide queen. As much as Corey was a warrior queen, capable of striking terror into mortal men, she was an absolute softy when it came to the people she loved, especially Roy. She could squash him like a bug, but would never try. It was rather endearing.
"He is occasionally adorable," she allowed.
"Very occasionally," Jason agreed. "Most of the time he's a hassle."
"Yet he is your best friend," Corey retorted, calling him out.
And that was only fair, because he'd called her out, too. "Yeah, he is. God help me," Jason replied, making a face.
Corey laughed at his struggle before speaking. "I have a present for you as well. It's already under your dead tree," she smiled.
Jason smiled back, excited. "You do?"
"You'll like it," she assured him.
"I'm sure I will. So, what are these plans that require I have a giant-ass TV?
Corey smiled. "I've copied all of Love Across Galaxies."
Jason blinked. "Which is?"
"The most popular television show in at least 3 galaxies. I've heard very good things."
Jason grinned wide. "Yeah?"
Coriander smiled in response. "Yes."
"I adore you," Jason declared fervently, and Corey looked incredibly pleased with herself. He'd gotten hooked on Corey's space soap operas while they'd all been living on her ship. He'd never had a TV as a kid, and he hadn't had much time for popular culture when living on the streets. He'd missed out on a lot of TV, music, and movies. He hadn't caught up all that much while being Robin. A nightlife of fighting crime didn't leave much time for that stuff either. And then he'd been dead, and there was none of that when he was stuck with Roz, and very little when he was doing his revenge march through Gotham. Once the Outlaws got together, Roy took Jason's pop culture education very seriously. He was constantly introducing Jason to shows and movies and music and shit. It was Corey's space shows that had really hooked him, though. He and Corey watched them together all the time. Roy would join them occasionally, but he never really got into them. It was a thing between Corey and Jason.
"I also brought intergalactic junk food."
"Well, what are we waiting for?" Jason declared, and they settled onto the battered couch. 4 hours later, they'd barely moved, but there was a plethora of trash around them, and they were arguing the nuances of interspecies relationships.
"It's doomed to failure," Corey said for the third time. "He is Zmar, and she is Zimidian. Their romance can't endure."
"Bullshit. It's true love, Corey. Don't be racist," Jason declared fervently, because nothing would ever convince him that Cathar and Zonda weren't absolutely meant to be. He was very invested in their romance.
"It's not racism, Jason," Corey protested immediately. "They are different species. Their species are anatomically incompatible."
"It's true love," he stressed again, because Corey clearly wasn't getting it. "They love each other. They can get past the physical aspect. He doesn't even care about that anyway. He just wants to be with her."
"They're biologically incompatible too," Corey argued. "His lifespan is a fraction of hers. He will have a full life with his love, but she will suffer his loss for a century."
"A century of happiness for a century of pain," Jason countered. "Not a bad trade for your soulmate."
Corey sighed in exasperation.
"It makes no sense," she declared again. "It's love. It doesn't have to make sense," Jason retorted. "Think of Roy. We love Roy. Tell me, where is the sense in that?" he demanded.
Corey's mouth twisted in a frown. "I see your point," she eventually decided. But before Jason could celebrate his victory, she added, "However, romantic love is far more binding. Our love for Roy is different."
"My love is. I'm not always sure about yours," Jason retorted.
Because while Roy and Corey were technically dating, Corey was still skittish about involving any type of real commitment, claiming the culture of her home planet as the cause. Jason silently thought it was all bullshit, an excuse Corey was using to maintain distance after being burned by her relationship with Dick. They didn't talk about it much, but Jason suspected Roy thought the same.
Corey scowled. "It's Christmas. We are not discussing this." Jason held up his hands in surrender. All right, all right. Cathar and Zonda are still soulmates, though, and there's nothing you can say that will convince me otherwise.
It will end in tragedy, Corey retorted.
Jason shrugged. Well, with the way Zanda's sister is trying to sabotage the relationship, probably.
She reminds me of my sister, Corey replied darkly.
They do share some of the same crazy bitch tendencies, yeah, Jason agreed.
Corey smirked at him in amusement, before turning her attention to his Christmas tree. Shall we open presents before we continue?
You can't stand it any longer, can you? Jason asked, amused.
No, I would like my present, she declared, moving from the couch. And I would like to give you yours.
Yours is the red one on top, Jason said, waving his hands over towards the Christmas tree.
Corey grabbed it and a long, plain box before returning to the couch. She surveyed her wrapped present in delight and handed the plain box to Jason. Merry Christmas, Jason, she smiled.
Merry Christmas, Corey, he replied, holding the present in his lap as he watched her tear the paper off with great enthusiasm.
Jason spent $100,000 of drug lord money on a diamond necklace because Corey was a queen amongst women and she deserved nice things. He also framed a selfie Roy had taken of the three of them on Jason's phone because, while a total badass queen, Corey was also secretly sentimental.
Jason, they are wonderful, she declared, sweeping him up into a crushing hug.
She clipped the necklace on and held the framed photo in her hands with a smile. It had been right after a battle, and they were all looking a little ragged. There was a raging fire in the background and grins on all of their faces. Jason had had to ditch his helmet because it partially shattered, but he'd gotten to blow a large complex and his grin was sharp. It was the day he'd finally started to think of the three of them as a team. He hadn't even minded when Roy snatched his phone and demanded they take a selfie of the three of them and the fire.
Thank you, she smiled at him earnestly. Did you make a copy for yourself as well?
He rolled his eyes fondly.
And one for Roy. That was part of your present.
She smiled, pleased.
You will have to put in shelves, a place to prominently display your copy.
I'll add it to the list for when I finally get around to replacing the furniture.
She nodded, satisfied, and indicated the box in his lap.
Your turn.
Jason opened the box to find a strange alien gun. He grinned wide.
Corey, you know me so well.
She smiled happily. It's a modified Tamaranian design with two settings. The first causes a very large amount of destruction and is lethal. However, since I know you are trying to follow Superman's rules for the time being, there is a non-lethal setting as well. It must be very painful. The man I tested it on screamed very loudly, she declared, showing him the setting on the gun that changed it from lethal to not. I thought maybe you'd like to use the non-lethal setting on Batman, she added with a smirk.
Jason's grin grew even wider. I would love nothing more. Thanks, Corey. This is great.
I am pleased you like it, she said with a happy smile. The USB drive in the box contains details of the designs, since I know you like to understand how things work.
Thanks, Princess. What'd you get Roy? He asked curiously.
Concert tickets for that band he likes. Unfortunately, I will have to accompany him, she replied.
You? All the details I remember about the Fortress of Solitude from the Bat Computer and a black market kryptonite.
You're encouraging him, Corey declared, appalled. Though I don't particularly care for him, Superman is not an enemy we need, Jason. I can't believe you.
Jason shrugged, unrepentant. Superman pissed me off.
And that's reason enough to aid Roy in his ridiculous quest to rob the Fortress of Solitude? She asked with a disapproving look.
He really pissed me off, Jason replied, and something in his expression must have shown just how badly, because she sighed in resignation. He continued,
Come on, Corey, Roy doesn't mean any harm. Besides, you know he does better when he has a project. The last few months haven't been easy on any of us, and he's dealt with a lot of shit from Ollie in the meantime. What's the harm in letting him have a little fun and letting me get a little revenge?
I am not breaking into the Fortress of Solitude, she declared firmly.
You don't have to, Jason agreed easily. The two of us should be able to manage on our own. It's easier to get into than the Batcave, once you manage to get there, at least.
She gave him a look. I know you two. Somehow, you'll manage to talk me into it, and then I'll have to suffer through whatever self-righteous lecture Superman delivers when we get caught. We just got out of trouble with the Justice League. I am displeased. However, I am stopping by Star City to see him on my way back to the Titans, and I will deliver his present for you.
Jason smirked. Thanks, Corey.
What about the remaining presents? Corey asked him, looking at the presents left under his tree. Who are they for?
Jason sighed. Me, from Alfred, Dick, and Tim.
Are you going to open them? She asked curiously.
Jason didn't want to, but he really didn't want to leave them there under the tree either. They'd been staring him down ever since Alfred dropped them off. If he opened them, he wouldn't have to deal with them anymore. He sighed and pulled them out from under the tree before returning to the couch. He opened Alfred's first, because it was least likely to piss him off. Whatever was in the box was neatly wrapped up in tissue paper. And there was a card lying on the top. Jason picked it up and read, Jason, since it is already December and you have yet to pick up some weather-appropriate clothing, I thought I would assist you in this endeavor. Since I know you, none of the items in this box are very expensive. You will find no cashmere. However, the woolen sweaters are quite warm. I hope you find everything to your liking, and do try to keep warm. Merry Christmas, Master Jason. Love, Alfred. Jason set the card gently aside and moved the tissue paper to find three thick wool sweaters in dark red, dark blue, and dark green, a scarf, a pair of gloves, and a pair of earmuffs. Jason chuckled at the present and pulled out his phone to text Alfred. Jason.
Thanks for the clothes, Mom.
Alfred.
Do try to make use of them, and thank you very much for the tea. How you managed to find my favorite Chinese tea in Gotham, I will never know.
Jason.
My secret, Al. Merry Christmas.
These are quite handsome, Corey said, inspecting the red sweater. You should try them on.
It's plenty warm in here already, Jason retorted, but Corey shoved it at his face.
It's your Christmas present. Put it on, she declared authoritatively.
Jason sighed and did what she demanded, slipping it on over his t-shirt. It was rather cozy, he decided.
Corey smiled. Very handsome.
Thanks, Cor, he said,
before picking up Tim's present. He ripped it open quickly and was rather surprised to find an extremely high-tech laptop. There was a messily scribbled note on top, and Jason snatched it up.
Jay, I have no idea how you're managing to get anything done with that outdated civilian laptop of yours, but hopefully this helps. I built some backdoors into the GCPD databases, so you'll have access to everything they've got without them knowing. I would have given you access to the Batcomputer too, but there's no way I would have been able to do that without Bruce being able to find the connection and trace it back. I figured you would rather go without than have that. But the GCPD files should be good enough to get you going with whatever you need. Merry Christmas, Tim.
Huh,
Jason remarked, inspecting the laptop skeptically.
What?
Corey asked.
Just trying to determine whether or not Baby Bird would have built himself a backdoor into the laptop so he could see whatever I'm researching. It'd make it way more convenient to keep an eye on me, and Tim kind of fancies himself my babysitter right now. He's really good at this stuff. I'm good too, but not good enough to find him if he inserted himself into the system.
Which meant Jason had better not risk using it for anything he didn't want the bats to know about. He firmly set the laptop aside.
Corey sighed and shook her head.
Richard was also paranoid.
Yeah, yeah, we're all paranoid, secretive bastards. I blame Batman.
I do, too, she replied. A father is supposed to love his children, not teach them to be suspicious of him and their own brothers.
To be fair, we're not really brothers, Jason replied. And I don't mean just because of blood, either. Dick wasn't interested in being family with me when I was there, and then I died. When I came back, I wasn't interested in being brothers with any of them. They may be a family, but they're not my family. You are, he said, looking Corey in the eyes. You and Roy.
Her expression softened as she nodded. Yes, we are family, but I believe they're your family, too.
She held up a hand when Jason started to protest. He stopped and let her continue.
They may not have been a good family to you, and they absolutely don't deserve you. However, I do believe that they're trying, and there's no shame in giving them another chance if that is what you wish. There's also no shame in denying them that chance.
Her words were soft, and Jason thought of her sister, and how she'd sold Corey into slavery and betrayed her again and again. He thought of how, despite everything, Corey still wanted things to be right between them. She meant what she said.
It is up to you to decide what you want. But if you do decide to give them another chance, even though they don't deserve you, and they destroy that chance, Roy and I will stand with you and punish them for it, she declared fiercely.
And Jason knew she meant that, too. She'd pick up a sword and declare war on Batman with one word from Jason. A warm feeling pooled in his gut. You too, Corey. You ever want to go to war with Tamaran, and we'll be right there beside you.
She smiled. Because we're family.
Because we're family. He agreed softly as he thought through her words. Feeling a little numb, he picked up the present from Dick and was rather surprised to find it was a box of various Wonder Woman attire. Jason immediately thought back to his time as Robin and one of the few positive interactions he'd had with Dick. Dick and Bruce had still mostly been fighting, but Dick had helped out on a couple of things, and though he hadn't even made the effort to get to know Jason before then, they'd somehow ended up in a conversation about the Justice League. Dick had wanted to know what he thought about Superman, and Jason had ended up confessing that the only member of the Justice League he had been starstruck by so far was Wonder Woman. Dick had laughed and teased a little, but had ultimately agreed that Wonder Woman was very impressive. It was one of the few conversations they'd had that didn't end with Dick being cold and resentful, or Jason being loud and resentful. Jason fingered one of the t-shirts thoughtfully. He wasn't really surprised that Dick remembered that conversation, and it was rather obvious what he was trying to say with the present. Seemed he was pretty stuck on trying out this brother thing again, if Jason would let him. Corey's hand dipped into the box and pulled out a scrap of paper before handing it to him. He sighed a little as he opened it up. Little Wing, I'm betting Wonder Woman is still the only member of the JL that impresses you. So here are some t-shirts. However, Bruce happens to find her impressive too, so he won't mind if he sees you wearing one. If you really want to piss him off, let him catch you wearing the Superman shirt. There's one at the bottom of the stack. Merry Christmas, little brother. I hope you're having a great day. Dick. Jason frowned at the note. He wouldn't be touching the Superman shirt anytime soon. He was still pissed. Dick was right about the other part, though. He absolutely still found Wonder Woman very impressive. And if he was going to be completely honest, he was still a little starstruck by her. And why wouldn't he be? She kicked ass. She was also not afraid of doing what it took to get things done. Yeah, she followed the no-kill rule while working with the Justice League, but she had absolutely no problem killing and would do it when necessary. So of course Jason thought she was awesome. He would proudly wear Wonder Woman t-shirts and pajama pants. However, does accepting the present mean I'm accepting him? Because I really want these, Jason admitted, looking to Corey for help. "It's a gift," Corey replied. "It's not meant to come with conditions or obligations. If you like them, keep them and wear them. That doesn't mean you have to keep him." Jason sighed. It was complicated, maybe even more so because Corey had been engaged to Dick at one point in time. She knew him well and knew what he was like. "I don't want to give him another chance," he admitted to Corey. "Then don't. As I said, Jason, he doesn't deserve you. None of them do." Which was true, in a way. At least as far as Dick, Bruce, and Damien went. Dick had wanted nothing to do with Jason when Bruce took him in. He hadn't been a brother or even a friend, really. He'd been an ally and, at times, a reluctant one. He'd pointedly kept his distance from Jason, which made it sting even more that he apparently immediately accepted Tim. And then there was Bruce, who left him unavenged, who replaced him with a better model, who reduced his time as Robin to a cautionary tale. To, "This is what happens when you're impulsive. This is what will happen if you don't do as I say." It made Jason's lip curl in disgust just thinking about it. Then there was Damien, who clearly wanted nothing to do with the failed street rat Robin and let his scorn be freely known. So yeah, they didn't deserve his time. But, and Jason would only admit this in the privacy of his own mind, maybe he didn't really deserve them either. He'd taken shots at all of them. He hadn't actively been trying to kill Damien or Dick, but he had made them hurt. Tim, he'd actually tried to kill in cold blood, and he'd never really done anything to deserve it. As justified as going after Bruce had been in Jason's mind, nothing he'd done to him was justified. Tim hadn't ever done anything wrong. Not really, anyway. He would have killed him. He would have robbed Dick and Damien of a brother. So yeah, they didn't deserve Jason. But he didn't really deserve them, either. So why on earth were Tim and Dick even pushing this brother thing so hard? It didn't make sense. They'd be so much better off just going their separate ways. But no, they had to dig into his life and his business like it was their fucking jobs. Abruptly, Jason dropped the clothes back in the box and shoved it away. He didn't feel like dealing with it anymore. He could figure it out later. Corey smiled at him. "We haven't finished our junk food or our TV marathon." Jason nodded, settling back on the couch. He dropped his feet down on the coffee table. "You're right. $10 says Zonda's sister makes a move on Cathar." "You're on. She's clearly going to forge communication to Cathar from Zonda, stating that she never wants to see him again." Jason grinned. "Prepare to lose, Corey. I rock at this game." "It will be you who will lose," Corey declared haughtily. An hour later, they stared at the TV in confusion. "Okay, so we were both right? What does that mean?"
"It means we double down," Corey declared fervently.
They spent the next few hours making increasingly more detailed bets. By the time Jason needed to go to the warehouse for the catering companies to deliver the food, $500 had swapped hands. Yet they'd both broken even. It might have been the best Christmas he'd ever had.